Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Welcome once again to the Your Farm Podcast here on Hoosier Ag Today, as we present the Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. I'm your host, CJ Miller, and today we're talking about cash rents and protecting yourself, not just if you're a landowner, but also protecting yourself if you are the farmer who is renting that that land. Joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today and the Your Farm Podcast, we have not one, but two special guests. In fact, we have a repeat guest. This may be our very first two-time guest here on Hoosier Ag Today and the Your Farm Podcast, chatting with Ann Klein and Courtney Schmidt. And first of all, let's start with you, Ann. Give us a little bit of your background. Tell us what your title is with Purdue Extension and the work that you do with Purdue Extension.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me back again. I must not have done poorly enough that you refused me back. So again, I'm Ann Klein. I live here in Noble County, and I work for Purdue Extension as the Ag and Natural Resources Educator here in the area. I do a lot with soil health, farm safety. My topic at the last one that I was on, the last podcast, was on anhydrous ammonia safety. So thank you for having me, CJ.
Absolutely, and welcome back to the Your Farm Podcast. Joining us, another special guest, her first appearance here on the Your Farm Podcast, Courtney Schmidt, all the way in beautiful Miami County. And Courtney, same question. Give us a little bit about your background, your title with Purdue Extension, and a little bit of the work that you do with Purdue Extension.
Sure. I come from a fifth generation corn and soybean farm in Clay County, Indiana. And I'm currently the Ag and Natural Resources and Health and Human Sciences Extension Educator in Miami County for Purdue. I do a lot of work with the Farm Succession Planning Team and a lot with farm management in general.
Today, we're talking about cash rents because even though we have a lot of corn and soybean growers that are just now hitting the fields, especially in parts of northern Indiana, especially where you are, Courtney, and where you are, Ann, in northeastern Indiana, it's been a little soggy so far this growing season, or this planting season, I should say. But we're already thinking about 2027 and beyond, and getting those cash rent agreements in place. So my first question, I'll start with you, Ann. What are some of the factors that are affecting cash rents when it comes to having those conversations between the landowners and between farmers?
Right. So the big one that everyone's going to start with is, what can this field, this piece of land, how much can it yield? Right. That's the first thing that we're always going to look at. What's the yield potential? What's the soil type? What's the soil fertility? What are those soil test results coming back at? In addition to that yield, you're looking at how well drained is it? Does it have drainage tile? You know, drainage tile is not typically the most exciting topic of conversation, but neither is replanting corn. So all of those things make a difference as we talk about cash rent. There's several other things too. Another big one, though, is field shape and size. So personally, you know, we have a piece of property. We don't live close to all the property we have, but we have a field that's like 16 acres. So first of all, it's small to start out with. I think there's at least 9 different edges on this field. There's at least 2 wet spots. Multiple sides are covered by woods. So you compare that field to a square 160-acre field, you're going to get a very, very different cash rent. You know, we have another field that has a slope that could probably be used as a ski resort. So again, all of those different factors matter. And so, yeah, irregular fields are hard to farm. You know, you spend more time turning than you do farming. So those are just a couple things. There are several others as well, CJ.
Well, and Ann, I'll stick with you and ask you this question. A lot of conversation has been coming up about property taxes, especially regarding farmland. And I'm kind of curious how that plays into the conversation as well in terms of that agreement for cash renting.
It depends on how you've written that agreement. If usually the landowner is paying those taxes, that, you know, it's the bill is made out to the landowner. But depending on how you write that lease, you know, it may affect who's doing that. But really, the big thing is, as property taxes go up, you know, the costs for the property owner are increasing, and they may hope to get a little bit more out of cash rent because of it.
Courtney, I'll pivot to you and ask you this question. What is it that landowners should look for besides just being the highest cash bid?
So I would look at a tenant's history and how much communication that they do with you and with their landowners. Any kind of extra services they may provide, if they do mowing, maybe snow removal for you, their reputation as a farmer, do they keep their fields clear of weeds? Do they help maintain soil health? Those types of things.
Courtney, what is it that makes a tenant farmer a good long-term partner for cash rent?
Same kind of thing. Those that are interested in helping keep soil health up. And I know Ann had some information on this that she's been looking at as we were together rewriting a publication on cash rent. So I might throw that one over to her.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, Ann. What is it that makes a tenant farmer such a good long-term partner for a property owner?
Yeah, I would say a good tenant farmer is going to care about the things that the landowner cares about. So you need to have a relationship with that landowner. If they care about their soil health, then you need to do things that help support soil health. If they care about communication, which I'm going to just tell you right now, you won't find too many people who want poor communication. So they're looking for somebody who will communicate with them, someone that they trust, someone who's going to steward their land. But, you know, I'm going to add something else to that. You know, so it's not just it's not just about the bottom dollar, because if you think about the different things that maybe if you're a farmer, and you cash rent, the things you do for your for the owners. Maybe you're checking on them. You're checking on more than just the land. You're checking on the landowner as much as you are. You are part operator, part property manager, part snowplow driver, wellness check. A lot of times the people that are in our community become more like family. And so relationships are so, so critical.
Absolutely. In fact, we'll take a little deeper dive into that partnership between landowner and tenant farmer in terms of cash rent agreements. We'll talk a little bit more about how to establish such an agreement coming up here in just a bit. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're watching and listening to the Your Farm Podcast here on Hoosier Ag Today as we present your Purdue Extension, a podcast network.
Every spring, planters hit the field setting the foundation for everything that follows. At Bain Welker Equipment, we're doing the same, building the future of our service team. If you've got mechanical skills, problem-solving grit, or hands-on experience, your talent shouldn't be stuck in neutral. Automotive, diesel, industrial, military, those skills transfer here. We're a proud Case IH dealer, keeping Case IH equipment running when farmers need it most. And that takes the best technicians in the business. Planting season is coming fast. The question is, are you ready for more or ready for the same? Better training, real advancement, a team that backs your growth. If you're ready to push further, earn more, and be part of something bigger, visit BainWelker.com/workwithus. Apply today and level up your career.
Yeah. And we're back on the Your Farm Podcast. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. We're chatting with Ann Klein with Purdue Extension Noble County, also Courtney Schmidt, Purdue Extension Miami County. And Ann, I want to ask you about establishing a written agreement or a contractual agreement between the landowner and a tenant farmer, because I think a lot of times perhaps a landowner or a tenant farmer may feel like, you know what, we've known each other for years and years. I grew up just down the road. You know, we've been farming as neighbors for years, and the landowner is retired and he wants to no longer farm, but is giving this opportunity to his neighbor or perhaps someone of the younger generation. Talk about the importance of having that written contract in place, because sometimes you may have one or the other party go, you know what, we don't need a contract. We don't need no stinking contracts. But yet that contract is there to protect both parties.
Absolutely. One thing that Purdue Extension and Extension across the country is going to highly recommend is a written contract. You know, handshakes are good, and we want to trust other people, but we've all been in those situations where the person that we signed, that we shook hands with, you know, they passed away, and now you're looking at their kids or someone else who's owning that land, and you have to communicate well. So I think that's just one of many reasons that a written contract is so important.
I think a lot of times people don't want to do the written contract. They just want to do the handshake agreement because they don't want to involve an attorney. But yet, I think getting that attorney involved, because you certainly need someone to not only draft the paperwork, but also to make sure that the language in it makes sense for both parties.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to make it legally enforceable, and you want to think that relationship is going to continue smoothly and comfortably. And a lot of times it probably will, but you never know what unexpected thing is going to pop up. You may need to transfer that land to another party. And that written document provides a guide for your heirs or successors so they can know what the history has been and how it's been maintained previously. It just clarifies each party's rights and their obligations to the land and to each other. So when we do land lease workshops with Purdue Extension, that is always our number one piece of advice for people, is to get it in writing.
Courtney, I'll ask you this this question as well. You have to think of it in terms of a business agreement. Now, it may be brother that's renting from brother, maybe son renting from dad, maybe son renting from grandpa. But regardless of that family relationship or that personal relationship, you still have to take off the family hat and then put on your business hat and truly think of it as a business partnership and a business agreement.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do with family. A farm family business can be very difficult. But you've got to learn that separation and those boundary lines, and make sure that agreements can be clear, and just encourage that communication. So I know we always push for strong families lead to strong farms. And so communication, we've said it several times already, but that's really the key. And just keeping everything in writing and understand what family time is and what business time is.
Chatting with Ann Klein and Courtney Schmidt here on the Your Farm Podcast as we talk about cash rents and written agreements. Ann, I'll ask you this question. What are some of the terms that you feel are most important to put into a written agreement to protect the landowner and to protect that tenant farmer?
Obviously, the first one people are going to think of is that dollar amount, right? I mean, that's one of the big things. So yes, we want that, but there are so many other things that are important too. The length of the lease. How long is this going to go for? When do you want to review it to review the terms and all of that? There are lots of different things. Maybe a description of what land you are specifically renting, so that there's no confusion on which piece of property. the timing. When and how are you getting paid? Is it once in the spring, once in the fall? I've seen lots of different kinds of cash rent agreements. I've seen ones where it shows you get a base amount and then you get bonuses based on yield, all sorts of different kinds of setups that are that these different groups work through. I'm sure there's things I've missed as well. So I'll throw it over to Courtney and see if she has anything to add.
You would want to add any kind of maintenance that you expect to happen, any kind of operation provisions. The land use, if you've got some recreational land, is hunting allowed on that? Are you allowed to bring on friends to hunt there? Are you allowed to hunt there? I think Anne said maybe timeframes, but include what the renewal looks like. Is this a 3-year lease? Is it a 1-year lease? That kind of thing.
Courtney, while we're touching upon this, I'll ask you in a contractual agreement, the importance of a contingency plan if the tenant farmer, for some reason, has an unexpected health issue, is hospitalized, emergency surgery, God forbid, a heart attack or stroke or something that prohibits the tenant farmer who has signed off on that agreement from finishing the harvest or from completing planting or from completing planting, I should say. Tell me a little bit about the importance of having a contingency plan fit in to a written agreement when it comes to cash rents.
Yeah, that would put a landowner at ease. There's all kinds of things that happen, accidents, that happens all the time, unfortunately. And not just in a written lease, they should have that contingency plan in place for their own operation for all of it. That is incredibly important to have thought through.
You mentioned accidents as well, because also to protect the landowner, if something should happen to the tenant farmer while on that property, let's say there's a tractor rollover or whatever may happen where the tenant farmer is injured while on that property, while planting, while harvesting, spray application, whatever the case may be. Certainly language as well to protect the landowner in that situation as well, Courtney.
Yeah, in that case, you're going to want to have a liability policy, a landowner's liability policy on that piece of property. The farmer would have their farm owner's policy, but it is important for a landowner to cover themselves for liability for land. And those policies are not that expensive with liability only.
And I understand that there are some sample lease agreements available online and through Purdue Extension that you don't necessarily have to walk into an attorney's office, knock on the door and say, hey, create an agreement from scratch for me. There are sample lease agreements that are available online, if I'm not mistaken, Anne.
Absolutely. Purdue even has in one of their publications at the back of it, you can go there and you can read about cash agreements. And this is the publication that Courtney and I are updating right now. So look for a new version of this here, hopefully yet this year. But you can go there and there's a rental agreement at the back that you can use as a base. You can add to it, you can take away from it, but it's a good starting point. And I know that Courtney has used some others. AgLease 101 is a website that you can go to. And really any of the extension sites are going to have really good, more research-based options that are a little more tried and true than maybe just the general website might. So make sure you look through those. That's a really good starting point if you don't want to involve the attorney.
And we'll have links to those at HoosierAgToday.com if you would like to do a little digging and find those sample lease agreements, if you will. And I'll ask you this question. What advice do you have for landowners and for tenant farmers when it comes to initiating and putting that agreement in place and overall when it comes to that cash rent agreement and that partnership?
I would say that, you know, the reason most people choose a cash rent agreement as opposed to crop share or any of these other kinds of things is because it's more simple and clear. And so I would just remind you to keep things simple and clear as much as possible. outline everything. But, you know, it just makes it easier in the long run if everything, as we already said, put it in writing, lay out all the different things that Courtney mentioned earlier. And yeah, I would say those are the things that I would share.
Courtney, I'll ask you the same question. What advice do you have for landowners and for tenant farmers when it comes to building that cash rent relationship?
So I think one of the things that is going to be the hardest probably right off the bat is to actually determine a cash rent price. One tool Purdue has is the Purdue Ag Econ Report, and it is published every year since the 1970s. It comes out in August, and it's a survey done by bankers and land managers, auctioneers across the state of gives you your average land values and your average cash rents. So that's, we don't say that that's the price to go with, but it's a good jumping off point to start with. So you can pull that up, and it goes, it's broken down by regions of the state, and it's based on your corn bushel per acre average, whether it's high yielding, average yielding, or low yielding, and it breaks it out, the average price for each one of those.
Courtney, there's no worse way to find out that if you are a tenant farmer and you're perhaps finding out from your neighbor that he is significantly paying far less to cash rent than what you are, I guess that's the best way to kind of protect yourself is to find those resources online, and I guess also to have those conversations with other nearby farmers to kind of find out, take the temperature in terms of what is the going rate for cash rents in this part of the state.
Yeah, so that Purdue Ag Econ Report is a good one to go to. The USDA's National Ag Statistics Survey also does a biennial land value report. So you can get their average cash rents as well. The current one, most current, is 2024. Usually those are lower than the Purdue Ag Econ Report. Those are filled out by farmers and ranchers. So those are two good options to kind of start with, but then always keeping in mind all those factors that Ann talked about earlier that help determine cash rent. So we usually just go by an average of all of those numbers and then look at the factors that Ann discussed.
Ann, I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you this question. It just popped into my head because I'm thinking, how many farmers are tenant farmers and don't own the property that they are farming? And I'm kind of curious if you have any sort of statistics in terms of a percentage, perhaps. If not, that's okay. But I was kind of curious if Purdue Extension, Purdue's College of Agriculture, Purdue Agronomy had done any research in terms of the percentage of those in Indiana who are cash renters versus those who own their own farmland and farm their own farmland.
I don't know that number off the top of my head. If I were speculating, though, I would guess it's very high. I'm guessing there's a combination of I own some and I rent some. Just the people that I work with each day, there are many in that situation. Maybe as you age, you let go of some of those rented pieces and just stick with your own. But I would guess that probably the majority of our crop producers in Indiana have some rental ground. I don't know if Courtney has any, if she knows of any information, but I don't know of a statistic off the top of my head.
I don't know the actual number, but we were just looking at the ag census data. And so part of that ag census that comes out has a subsection of land rent data. So I don't know the number, but it is out there.
Before we wrap up the podcast, Ann, I'll ask you this question. Is there anything else that I've forgotten to ask or that you'd like to include as part of our conversation about cash rents?
I don't know that there's anything you forgot to ask. I was thinking about the factors question, and one that I didn't say is how far away your field is. And we all know what fuel prices are like these days. And suddenly a field that's 5 to 15 miles away gets a lot more expensive with prices. So sometimes that makes a difference in what you can charge for cash rent to a specific farmer as well. So I just thought of that. But really the thing that I would wrap up with is regarding relationships. It is so important to build that trust, that relationship with whichever side you're on, whether you are the landowner or whether you're the farmer farming the field. We need to build that trust because really that's what matters in the end. A few dollars here or there aren't going to matter at the end of your life, but those relationships very well could.
Ernie, I'll ask you the same question. Is there anything that you'd like to add as part of our conversation?
Yeah, I would just encourage people, if they see those surveys come out, I know a lot of times you don't want to answer them and you kind of think it's none of your business, but we do use that information a lot. So, I mean, we use it for grant writing and to get funding for more programming and to offer, you know, good resources for people in Indiana to use. So if you see those surveys, just take a second and fill out whatever kind of information you might have to add on that.
I will ask one final question, and I'll ask it of you, Ann. What's the website for more information through Purdue Extension to glean some more information about cash rents and written agreements and how to build, grow, and maintain that relationship between a landowner and a tenant farmer?
Absolutely. If you just search in your browser, if you just search Purdue Extension and cash rent, the first few things that you come up with will be really good resources regarding that. And so I encourage you to use those resources and reach out with questions, whether it's to Courtney or I or a local educator in your area. We can point you the right direction.
Once again, Ann Klein with Purdue Extension, Noble County. Courtney Schmidt with Purdue Extension, Miami County, representing Northern Indiana. And Ann and Courtney, thank you so much for your time here today on the Your Farm Podcast. I appreciate it. And we appreciate you watching and listening to the Your Farm Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to hit like and subscribe so that way anytime we upload a brand new video, we have a new something for you to watch, then guess what? You're going to be among the first to find out, especially when it comes to the Your Farm Podcast. So be sure to hit like and subscribe and follow us not just on YouTube and the YouTube channel for Hoosier Ag Today, but follow us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and be sure to connect with us as well on X, what used to be known as Twitter. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Your Farm Podcast as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today.